College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, Rob Aspero here with the Viral Volley Podcast, and with me are our incredible contributors representing the right coast in Florida State University. That's Mads Fitzpatrick, and representing the left coast from Stanford University, that's Charlie Ekstrom. We've had an exciting week four happen here. Well, kind of week four and a half, if we count what happened Monday, Tuesday, and I don't think there are any results today. I didn't see any yet, but let's talk about some of the top matches that you were watching in the last eight or nine days. We'll start with you this time, Charlie. Go for it.
Ooh, okay. So I think I can start it off going to the East Coast with a big upset of Florida Gulf Coast beating Stetson for the first time ever in program history. And Florida Gulf Coast then kind of entered the rankings. They're in at number 20 now. And I don't think they've ever been nationally ranked before. So really, really big for that program. I know that it came down to one final court in the, at the end there, and it was a big win.
How about you, Mads? Anything that, that caught your eye in this last eight-ish days?
Yes. I want to shout my girl out, Charlie. Stanford upset Hawaii 4-1. That is huge for them. Like, that is just amazing, and I'm really, really happy for Stanford.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and pick one out because – number one last week, Florida State beat number 14 Stetson 4-1. And this person by the name of Madison Fitzpatrick was back in the lineup again for 2 weeks in a row now. So we're enjoying seeing her back on the sand. You know, I know that Stetson was ranked number four and just were upset by Florida Gulf Coast. But I mean, with the play that's happening out there, it just makes it really exciting to follow even from the coast that I'm on, which is the left coast, but seeing your connection and seeing the kind of competition that's happening within your conference is always fun to see. So are there any other matches for you, Charlie? I know there's a lot, so I figured you got more than just that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to narrow it down. We were all talking about this before. I'm going to narrow it down to a single match within a big duel of Brooke Bauer and Carly Skjote. Sorry if I...
Skjote, yeah.
but them upsetting Julia Scholes and Haley Harward at the twos in the Pepperdine versus USC matchup. USC ended up taking that match 4-1, but Brooke and Carly took down the previously undefeated Haley and Julia. Big deal for that team.
Yeah. How about you, Mads? Any more eye-catching duels, pairs, matches?
Yeah. FAU had a really strong weekend. They took FSU 3-2. Awesome for them. Not good for us, but we're back on the grind. And also their number ones beat our number ones. And so that was really awesome for Mac and Erica.
Yep. Well, I'm going to throw one in there from my conference that I'm closest to, and that would be the Big West Conference. And Cal Poly is really turning it on now. They had some really tough competition to start off this season, but you know, you can tell they're going to be the big dog in the Big West. And you know, with Todd Rogers behind the helm and some new faces, Amy Ozzie, you know, you've got Jalen Riley also there, Macy Gordon. There's some really good talent to watch out for. And I know I'm leaving out some names. Sorry, ladies. I'm kind of going off the top of my head here. We're friends. We're bros. We're sisters. But Cal Poly just looks super solid. And this was look back at week four to see when they really put the pedal to the metal. So next question for you guys. Who are the top teams, pairs, or athletes that you saw in the last few days? And we'll start with Mads on this one.
Well, I just said them, but the ABCA pair of the week with Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris, they are just underdogs and they fight every time and they create big upsets every year. So I know it's FAU's first ABCA pair of the week. So that's awesome for FAU and Erica Mackenzie. Yep.
How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, so I am going to go and shout out the number two pair for South Carolina of the sisters, Katie and Jordan Smith. I see here that they are undefeated with a 17-0 overall record with a graduate senior and a freshman pair and sisters. It's pretty adorable, and they're just absolutely kicking butt. They are really, really taking down a lot of teams. They're undefeated and doing great.
I like your pick, man. It's not that I don't like yours, Charlie, but you know, Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris have really, they really caught my eye on the radar. What is making them so good this year? Because they don't strike me as an overly physical pair, but they seem to be getting it done. And Charlie, feel free to chime in as well, because, you know, obviously watching a stream is different than actually knowing and seeing them play. So please do share what you got.
Yeah. So I know that they've been playing together for a very long time. So just that experience together, they trust each other. Like Erica will say high line and Mackenzie won't even think about it high line and it's open. Like they just have that bond on the court. And I know they're really good friends off the court. So I think that definitely assists them in all their success.
Yep. How about you, Charlie? Anything to add on there?
Yeah, I think just building off of that, like Matt's hit the nail on the head with it. And I've not actually ever seen them play in person, just due to the coastal difference, unfortunately. But based on what I've seen of them, they're just a really consistent pair. And they really, really, like every little like highlight reel that I see, they absolutely like are pedal to the metal grinders. Like they don't let balls drop. They go for it on every single point. And I have nothing but respect for a pair that works that hard at every play.
No doubt. Well, you know, the recent polls came out both for the AVCA and the College Beach VB. hoping you guys had a chance to take a peek at them, because I know we didn't really preview that before we went live, but do you feel like that poll is correct? And I'm going to throw like the outsider question. FSU for the first time gets number one rank, tied with USC, and now is number two. It seemed kind of odd to me, but again, it's just the poll. And we know that both teams are really good. But for the most part, is the poll pretty legit this week? And we'll start with Charlie and we'll go to Matt's.
So I think that the poll, I keep going back and forth on it because I think that there are a lot of teams that I'm looking at that still have been making upsets that might not necessarily be working their way up as high. Like we see teams like Florida Gulf Coast just peaking in at number 20, but taking down some teams that are much higher than number 20. I also think I was a little bit confused as well that we didn't see another tie at number one of FSU and USC, because both teams do still remain undefeated, which are incredible program starts. And I think I had seen with FSU and I believe it's with USC, like those might be two of the best program starts that either program has had, which is so, so awesome. And so I was confused as to why they split those up. I would have expected to see a tie at number one again. And I'm expecting to see, again, more of a shuffle from number 11 to 20. And even, honestly, number 8 to 20, I think, can really be mixed up from here.
Yeah. All right, Matt, throw down what you got. I know you got a lot brewing right there. So
I completely agree with Charlie. I feel like we got bumped down to number 2. Not fair, but the only way we're going to prove ourselves is when we play USC. So I'm really looking forward to that matchup. I think it's in like 2
April
weeks.
2nd.
Look at you. You're on your stuff.
Because I will see you on April 3rd at UCLA.
Yeah, and I'm also looking forward to seeing some of those teams who are making upsets like jump higher. Like I feel like Stanford deserves to be higher up there in the rankings, and like you guys play GCU this coming up week. So I think that's going to be an awesome, if you can get that win, then jumping up in the rankings.
Well, this last week, at least in the AVCA poll, we saw teams climb one, drop two, but Hawaii had the biggest drop at 5 spots from their number 5 back to the, actually 6 to 11. The teams that were moving up were LMU, Pepperdine, Grand Canyon, and TCU. And there's that 6 to 9 range that can go either way. And honestly, with Stanford being out there for this weekend to see Grand Canyon, there could be a big shuffle in that lineup there from the 8 to 11. What are your guys' thoughts on what could happen this weekend? We'll say from 8 to 12, because everyone is pretty much active this week. They've all got duels. So we'll start with you, Mads.
Yeah, like we said before, I'm looking forward to that shuffle. I know number 11 Hawaii plays number 5 Cal Poly, and that's going to be a really solid test for Hawaii, seeing if they can bounce back from that loss. So that'll be a very telling game. And then coming up, number 13 FIU versus number 12 FAU, the FIU Surf and Turf Invitational. That's going to be a good game. Whenever you play people or other teams that close in the rankings, there's bound to be some really solid competition.
Well, I got to ask you a follow-up question. What kind of rivalry is there between FAU and FIU?
So I'm not completely sure that they have a very strong rivalry. I'm just always so aware that everyone just wants to beat FSU. So I'm just constantly thinking about our rivalries with them. But again, being in the same conference, I bet that there is some rivalry there.
Yeah. Charlie, anything to add though about that potential shuffle in the 8 through 12, 11?
Yeah, I again could not agree anymore. We're seeing some bigger teams. We're seeing, we've got the Pac-12 South Invitational coming up this weekend with, I know that we play U of A and there could be a shuffle there. We see that Cal is playing UCLA for another matchup. And then we kind of go to the East Coast with the Gamecock Grand Slam. And we see number 17, Georgia State, taking on number 16, South Carolina, as well as number 14, Stetson. And then we also see South Carolina versus Stetson. So I think that that's going to be, honestly, like that could be a really big shuffle up on those East Coast teams that are all kind of very, very closely ranked. Like, I think that there's bound to be a little bit of shuffling within there.
So, you know, you got to keep an eye on that 15 through 19, 20 range, because that's where Charlie and the Cardinal are inhabiting. But Georgia State, you know, they've been winning, but they just, for some reason, aren't able to burst the bubble of the 15. You know, then you also have South Carolina in that mix and Long Beach State. I feel like you got to keep an eye on those teams just outside the 15. What are your thoughts on that? We'll start with you, Mads.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel bad. Georgia State has been really kicking butt, and they do every year. And it's just really hard for them to get inside that top range. But it's going to be a great weekend for them because they're playing South Carolina and Stetson. And then South Carolina is playing Stetson. It's a bunch of intermingling of those equally ranked teams. So that's going to be interesting.
Charlie, chip in.
Yeah, I mean, being one of those teams that really is having a hard time getting out of that 15 through 19 bubble. I think that similarly to Georgia State, I think a lot of times good things are happening and a lot of times that it might not result in the rankings, but we almost say like, and I don't know what, if Georgia State, if they can agree with us, but I'm sure that they've got a similar mentality, that underdog mentality and that fight to prove ourselves like every single time. And I think that Georgia State does a great job of doing that. Like they put up wins when they should, and they put up wins even when they're not necessarily predicted to. And I think that honestly, with everybody in that 15 to 19, like we're all kind of ready to shuffle. We're all ready to take down some of these top name teams that we know that are beatable.
That get it, grind it, and win it attitude.
Heck yeah.
That's what you got to go in with, right? Well, let's jump to our week 5 action here. Actually, you know what? I jumped ahead of myself. I wanted to focus on some of the top pairs that were considered this week. And I know we've mentioned some of their names, and we all know that the number one pair of FAU, Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris, won the AVCA pair of the week. But some other names to talk about, and we actually have dropped their names, Kitty Smith, Jordan Smith from South Carolina. They were 4-0 last weekend, have a 17-0 record. They coasted the wins over New Orleans. Let's see, Southern Miss, Houston Baptist, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. But they've been pretty consistent. What has been your experience with the Smith sisters? And we'll start with you, Mads.
So I don't know the youngest Smith sister, but Katie Smith is my year, and Charlie and I did USA stuff with her. And she's an undersized player, but so good at defense, like such good court awareness, reading the ball. She's all over the place, and she can really put the ball away too for being an undersized player. So I don't know if Jordan Smith is taller. Charlie, do you know that? If they
she's also younger than me, so I've actually never seen Jordan play. I've heard incredible things, but similar things to what you were saying with Katie. Matt, I feel like Katie is one of those players that is slept on way too much. Like she is a very, very talented volleyball player and is underlooked at because she puts up like just a very high level of consistency overall.
Yep. The next pair, which Mads may have an unfair advantage on. So we're going to start with you, Charlie. The number 3 pair of Florida State, Sarah Putt and Maddie Anderson. 4-0 last weekend, 17-0, 3 set wins over FGCU, over number 14 Stetson, and coasted the sweeps over FAU and number 20 UAB. What are your thoughts on that pair as a candidate for a pair of the week?
I mean, I think we're all waiting for the week that they're officially named pair of the week, because this is a pair that, like you've said, is undefeated, puts up wins, puts up gnarly grinder battle wins AKA looking at the LSU games from a couple weeks ago. But this pair, like, they come out and they fight and they are so dynamic. Like, I know Maddie Mae Anderson is a very, very dynamic player, and looking at her as a split blocker with Sarah Putt, like, they, I mean, I don't know. There's just an incredible amount of dynamicism or whatever, dynamicness in that pair.
Dynamism, I like it.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's just, it's good stuff.
All right, here we go, Mads. You gotta toot the horns of your teammates.
Oh yeah, I mean, I agree. They are the most dependable team at FSU. Like, Maddie is just so aggressive and Sarah is so smart and they complement each other so well. And it's amazing they haven't played together before this year, because I feel like they have been teammates, like playing together as partners for a very long time. That's how well they know each other and they know the game. So I'm really thankful to have them on our team, because they put up wins consistently every single weekend.
Well, I'll tell you, I met Maddie Anderson and Caitlin Moon, what, two or three summers ago. And in that age range, they were the most physical players and they were playing at such a high level. And I had to ask where they were going when they said Florida State. I go, wow, that's a double score there. So she's definitely a gifted and talented player, both of them. And I can imagine how much stronger she is in person, being that she's been training with weights with other teammates that are at the same, if not higher level of play than she is. So she's got to be sharpening her tools for sure. Our final pair, and we did mention them a little bit. They're kind of number one, number two pair for Pepperdine. They kind of been bouncing back and forth, but it's Brooke Bauer and Carly Skjote. They went 3-0 last weekend. they beat Cal Poly, USC, that big win against Harvard Schools, and Concordia. They're 4-5 overall, but you obviously know they're more talented than their record shows. So, Maddie, your thoughts on the pair of Brooke Bauer and Carly Skjote?
It's amazing that Brooke Bauer is a full-time defender, because she is so tall and she could be a blocker. She's that good. But I think that's a great combination. Brooke is so dependable and just consistent, and she gets wins no matter where she is. And she obviously has amazing skills, because she gets these huge upsets of teams that haven't lost yet. So I'm looking to see Brooke and Carly kind of take that leap and take off from here.
Yep. All right, Charlie, knock it home.
Yeah. Mads, you couldn't have said it better. Honestly, I think that kind of regardless of where they are, like Rob, you were saying that their record doesn't quite indicate just how good this team is. This team, like, they have been battling top level, like very, very high competition since the first time that they stepped onto the court, and they have been putting up wins or putting up battles. They took Tina and Sammy at the USC ones to three. They have been taking off. They've been chipping away at all of the top programs and all of the top pairs. And it's really cool to just see like how they're kind of putting in the hard work, and it's really paying off.
Well, they've definitely had the trial by fire, because they've played USC three times and UCLA, and going between the ones and twos. And we obviously know Tina Gradina and Sammy Slater they're pretty unbeatable right now. So it seems they're just really strong, but they've been putting up a good battle against them. So I feel like they've gotten stronger, and going down actually gives them, I guess, the experience of playing such a good team at such a high level. So good for the Pepperdine number 1/2 team. Let's go to our week 5 matchups. I've already got 5 scores for the week, and we'll just say the one, number 19, Stanford upsetting at the time number 6, Hawaii, 4-1. Then you had Cal Davis 3-2. Oh, I forgot your Stanford 5-0 against Davis as well. That was on my list. Sorry. So 6 scores, Cal upset Hawaii 4-1, Long Beach State swept both Colorado Mesa and Concordia. Which brings us to today. There was FGCU at Stetson, but I have no results anywhere. They had a doubleheader. But beyond those matches, oh, you do?
Yes. Stetson beat FGCU 5-0 and then beat them 3-2. So FGCU pushed back at the end, but still came up short with 3-2.
All right, we'll have to report on that one next week, get the results and see who actually delivered. So what matches will Mads and Charlie be checking out this week? Be on your own. If you want to be watching your own, that's fine as well. But What are the top matches to be, if you're a volleyball fan like myself, like, okay, I got to check this out. We'll start with you, Charlie.
Yeah. So I had mentioned it before, but I was looking at the Gamecock Grand Slam with number 14 Stetson versus number 16 South Carolina, as well as number 16 South Carolina versus number 17 Georgia State, and number 17 Georgia State versus number 14 Stetson. I think that that's bound to have some mix-ups. Kind of that whole event of all of those teams playing each other are bound to have a little bit of heated competition and heated, hopefully maybe even upsets in it.
Yep. How about you, Mads?
Yep. I'm looking forward, I said it before too, but Stanford versus GCU. Let's see if Stanford can ride out that win and continue with their winning streak. I think they can.
I'm going to chip in one here as well. And it's a team that we don't really mention a lot. And I'm trying to figure out why, because they're actually really good. Loyola Marymount at the number six, they have a duel against now number 10 Hawaii with a TBA. I'm not sure where that's going to be at, but I mean, that would be a good proving point for Hawaii or actually LMU to prove themselves that they are worthy of that number six, or Hawaii can come back into the top 10 or inside the top 10 by defeating LMU. And we know that LMU has really solid talent in, you know, McDowell. We got, Savannah Slattery, you know, so many names on that roster. E.L. Lindell. Yeah, we got to give you a plug there. But we know that there's some solid talent on that LMU roster. So I'm definitely wanting to catch that one. Any other ones for you, Charlie?
Oh, let me scroll through the long list because wow, we do have a lot of battles coming up. I'm going to actually pick going to our nice little Pac-12 South Invitational that we've got this weekend. Number 9 Cal versus number 4 UCLA.
Yep. How about you, Mads?
Yes, the Gamecock Grand Slam is going to be exciting. Charlie briefly talked about it, but I'm looking forward to seeing all those little mix-ups. And I'm also looking forward to seeing FSU play South Carolina. South Carolina is known for those upsets. So it'll be interesting to see how South Carolina plays against such a highly ranked team.
Good calls. I'm going to throw one more down, and it's going to be for the Gamecock Grand Slam as well. But it's going to be the Georgia State-South Carolina, the 17-15 matchup. You know, like Charlie was saying earlier, we could see a lot of shuffling after this Gamecock challenge. So I think a lot of eyes will be keeping an eye on what's happening there. So anything else to add, ladies, before we end our episode of Viral Volley Podcast, College Volleyball Weekly Beach Edition. I forgot to say that in the beginning.
It's a mouthful. But no, thank you for having us as always.
Yes, thank you.
Well, you guys are doing incredible work and we're getting some great response. Be sure to follow these ladies' programs. In case you're wondering, Florida State, Stanford, follow the conferences. You got the Coastal Collegiate Sports Association, you got the Pac-12, but there's so many other teams out there. Be sure to follow the streams. Volleyballmag.com has a listing of all the streaming that's available. They do a really good job of getting as many on there as they can. And we're seeing things heat up. I guess this would be kind of the halfway point for the collegiate beach season, being that May is coming up in what, 5 weeks?
It flies by. Holy moly.
How crazy.
So what we may have to do for our next episode, we'll definitely get more fan questions, but we will definitely pick some of our mid-season All-Americans, Charlie Mad style.
Cool. Fun. So, yay. Can't wait.
Ladies, best of luck this week and weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.